Okay, so let's just try to finish up the sugya of Talit Shula. So, summarize from before we went to Switzerland. Which I still can't believe I'm saying, but that's fine.
Slight flex on that.
What?
Slight flex on the people listening to.
Yes, exactly. So we saw basically three possibilities in this sugya. So we saw the possibility that formally you only have 30 days. A formal loan is 30 days, just like a formal borrowing, let's call it a borrowing, is 30 days, just like a stam loan is 30 days. And then, therefore, so the possibility is that it could, one possibility is that midaraisa, you're always pater on Talit Shula, but after 30 days, it becomes kain yours. It's sort of yours because it's now beyond a normal borrowing, and therefore chayv midirabanan. Or you think that it's midirabanan, it's maris ayin. And that could just be because, not that a loan has to be 30 days, but that's just normally how much a loan is. We saw the nafkamina is between that in terms of loans. Can you demand it back earlier or not? Within mezuzah, is it that mezuzah is forever as daraisa or as midirabanan? After 30 days, what would be the difference between mezuzah and tzitzis? That maybe mezuzah is about the person who lives there, and therefore it doesn't matter who owns it, as opposed to tzitzis, maybe it does matter. We dealt those out last time. There are a few things we still have to do, though. So one was, what do we mean, Talit Shula? So as I said, there are two different things that this means. The classic sugya clearly means a borrowed piece of clothing which doesn't have tzitzis on it. But 90% of the time, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about someone borrowing a four-cornered toga. We're talking about someone borrowing a talis with tzitzis. So we haven't yet seen, so what's the halacha in that case? So if you look at number... So the Rosh discusses this in two places. One is here in Menachot, and one is in Chulin. So if you open up to the Rosh here in Menachot, well, no, I don't. Things that are in the Gemara, I don't give you, right? So you have to open it up. So if you open up to the Rosh, the problem with the Oz Bahadur is that there's so much here that, like, it's easy to miss. So the Rosh in the Halacha Ketana in Tefillin Tzitzis. There we go. So I'll show you at the end of Aleph. The end of Aleph. So he quotes here from the Ra'iti. Sorry, that's bad. Here. Ra'iti ba'ashkenaz. I saw that in Ashkenaz, right, this is, he moved, remember, this is when he's already moved to Spain. So he grew up in Ashkenaz in Germany, and then he moved to Spain. Lifnei Yom HaKippurim, Kishemashkimen Shliach Tzibur Mitatef B'Talit Shel Acher Kedei Lipater Mibracha Mishum Talit Shula. The minhag was that the Chazan, because you remember, you're going to wear it at night, which gets very, you know, problematic in terms of tzitzis in general. So what he did to avoid a suffix bracha was he would borrow a talis and not wear his own. And therefore, he went into a bracha. And we show him, the misafkahu b'talit shena shalow, tzarech lavarach shalow, im tzarech lavarach halor, right? That's a bad girsa. Because he had a suffix, whether if he put on his own, he'd have to make a bracha or not, right? Because you're going into the evening here. The nearly kishnur kama, right? Meaning, and it's night, and therefore it's a suffix because it's a machlokas. The Rosh Rambam Ran, right? Whether ksut laila is night or night clothing, and therefore it's a suffix. Whether he makes a bracha, he puts it on at night, so he just put on a borrowed one, right? This is probably actually at night, not even going into night, but at night, right? No, this is definitely at night, right? The suffix that we, the way we do it nowadays usually is that people put on their talis before nightfall. But here he's talking about after nightfall. So he doesn't want to put on tzitzis after nightfall because his own tzitzis, because then he'll
So as long as it's like not his, it doesn't even matter if they're in use, as long as it's just not his tzitzis, he doesn't have to make a
bracha. So that was what this person said. And then he quotes the machlokas about night and day, right? Which we've already seen, right? Is it about night clothing or is it about night? But then if you skip to bed, he says, Umash bit Adam ba Ashkenaz batalit shel acher kedeli patar min habracha mishum talit she'ula nearly the tone him. But he says, let's leave aside the night and day thing. But this logic that they have, that you can put on someone else's talis and then be exempt from a bracha, is wrong. Said you're only exempt if you from putting on tzitzis on a four corner garment if you're borrowing it for less than 30 days. Aval biksut she'ina shelcha lochiva ter lasuk dilim, because you're not obligated to put tzitzis on something that's not yours. Aval ashol mechaverot talit mitzuyetzet, but if you borrow something that already has tzitzis on it, sarich levarich, you have to make a bracha. V'chein matzati shekatav bala itrzal. And that's what the Bala Iter says as well. And you have it here as well in Chulin, right, where he says, Linira, this is on the sheet, the only time you're exempt is if you borrow a clothing without tzitzis. And he says, now he's a little bit clearer. And he says, you know why you have to make a bracha? Because if you lend someone a beged with tzitzis, you're lending it so that they can be mekayim the mitzvah. And if the only way you'd be able to make a bracha is that it's yours, so then he'll give it to you as a temporary gift. Right, so in halacha, we have two ways you could give something to somebody temporarily. Now, this is like the most lumpish thing in the world. One is to lend it to them. Now, if you lend something to somebody, you own it, they're allowed to use it. The other way is what's called a matana hamanat lahachzir. What's a matana hamanat lahachzir? It's a full gift, meaning I give my phone to Daniel and I say, it's yours, on condition that you give it back to me by 9 o'clock tonight. So then, until 9 o'clock tonight, it's yours. If you don't give it back to me at 9 o'clock tonight, you know what happens? Retroactively, you stole from me. Because I gave it to you as a gift on condition you give it back. But if you don't give it back to me, I never gave it to you.
Is that what we do to avoid, like, Kriya and the Kodal and stuff?
No, you don't do that. The other one, you do Sh'ula. You lend. You definitely don't want to do that.
Oh, why?
Because then it's yours.
No, like, let's say I'm...
No, you want to lend it because you want to borrow it because then it's not yours. If it's yours, then it's yours and you have to tear it, right? We do...
No. I'm saying, like, I'm wearing a shirt and I don't want to have to tear it, so I give it to my friends.
Not as a gift.
Yours on condition that you give it back to me in 10 minutes from now.
And then put it back on you?
Yeah, and then...
Oh, usually what people do... Shmuel David usually says the opposite, which is borrow someone else's shirt. Right?
No, but I'm saying this way you can keep your shirt on. You give it to them on condition they give it back to you at, like, I don't know, 5 o'clock.
Theoretically, you could do that,
and then,
right?
And then you borrow the shirt, and now you're wearing the shirt.
Yes, theoretically, you could do that, right? Theoretically, that would be the same. It's a little bit more convoluted, but yes, it'd be the same.
But it means that then you don't have to, like, change shirts or anything, right?
Well, yeah, but he needs to do a kinyan. It means you have to take it off because you have to do a kinyan in order to own it.
Oh.
So you have to take it off anyway, so then it's just getting complicated. Right. And what's his proof? And he says, because the Gemara says that if you borrow a shirt, ashol chaluk umeit lo meit, ein rashai lekroa, if you borrow a shirt and, God forbid, a relative dies while you're wearing the borrowed shirt, so then you don't tear kriya. Vim hodiyu shehulech levakeret acholeh, but if you tell the person, I'm going to... if Reuven says, I'm going to see my dying relative, and he borrows a shirt from Shimon, he does have to tear Kriya. Why? And Mishalim lo pchadak pri, and then he's just to pay him back. The Avo Bishalosher Lakroa came in the other Shalach Lavakar Nachola Bekilu Arshehu, because he told him, I'm going to see someone who might die while I'm there, can I borrow your shirt? Everyone knows what that means. The Nagu, now, I get into, I have a little bit of machlokas with Shmuel David about this, because based on this halacha, Shmuel David tells people that they should borrow someone else's shirt when they go to the kotel, this way they don't have to do kriya. And I say, what do you mean? You're telling someone you're going to the kotel, so
there it's expected that you do
kriya. That you will do kriya. And then he said, yes, but if you explicitly...
But
he says, tell them they explicitly do not have rishus, because this is just an assumption that normally someone would tell you.
Well, no, I would argue that if you're...
This is what he says.
You're borrowing the shirt for the kotel for the sake of not having to tear kriya.
Well, that's what he says. So
their assumption wouldn't be that you're tearing kriya because you're borrowing it.
Right, so that's what Shmuel David thinks. And I'm like, I'm not sure. I get very uncomfortable with that. I don't love it. It might technically work, but I also feel like it's a harama that I don't love. So, but anyways, but this is, we always get into this conversation, but it's about this rush, right? This rush here. And is that different? Right? Is that different in this case? More Mekel. Okay, anyways. And he says, we go even farther than that. The minag is, minagulit atev betalit shel chavir afilu b'lo yidia. Mivarech, v'samchol zeh denichal le'inesh levin mitzvah b'mamoneh. Even if you borrow someone's talis without them knowing, the minag is to make a bracha, because we assume that everyone wants you to be able to become a mitzvah, and they would let you use it. And therefore, you can even make a bracha. But he says, if you find it folded, right, fold it exactly as you found it, because people don't like when they find their stuff unfolded. Nothing changes. 700 years later, nothing changes. Okay, but what's the lumdus here? So, one possibility is to just say, look, the way the Rosh presents it in Chulin, the machlokas he would have with the Chachmei Ashkenaz was simply, do the people give it as a matara manat lahachzir or not? Right? Meaning, the way he presents it here is that everybody agrees that you can only make a bracha on tzitzis that is yours. The machlokas is...
is it yours or are you borrowing?
Correct. Right? Is it being given as a loan or is it...
but isn't it just different in every case? There's no specific...
correct, and therefore they just could be arguing about mitzius in terms of what are people assuming. But it's also possible that that's not the machlokas, because it could just be, you could have made an argument and said, no, they're machlok. You could have a machlokas about whether you could make a bracha on a borrowed talis. Because why would you say you can't make a bracha on a borrowed talis? Because you didn't have to put talis in the first place. You didn't have to put tzitzis in the first place, right? But you could say, but yeah, you're right, you don't have to put on tzitzis, but maybe you're allowed to make a bracha because it's not mufka from being a chefza shel mitzvah. You're putter. That doesn't mean it's valueless, right? The Rush's assumption is that if I'm putter, it's valueless. Correct. The Rush's assumption is if you're not chayav, it's valueless and you can't make a bracha. He just thinks that they'll always give it to you as a matana, and therefore it'll be yours, so that you can make a bracha. But you could have argued, no, you're allowed to make a bracha for a more fundamental reason, which is, just like Ashkenaz and Paskin, that women can make a bracha on a mitzvah zeisha as mine grandma, maybe you're allowed to make a bracha on the talis because you didn't have to put on tzitzis, but what you did, once you did, it's a chetzah shel mitzvah, and therefore you're allowed to make a bracha. On the other hand, you could say maybe this is different because if you're not yet chayiv, maybe the tzitzis don't count, or something like that, or don't count for you because it's, right, since it's a rishus, then it's a mitzvah kiyumis. Right, they don't have tzitzis. Tzitzis might be defined as putting tzitzis on a beged that requires them, right? Maybe this is going to be a lack in the cheftza, right? So that may be why the Rush is convinced that even though the Rush would say that Ashkenazim say women can make bracha on mitzvah, they're not chayavot in, maybe you can't make a bracha on tzitzis on a beged you're not chayav in because it's just meaningless. It's just tassels at that point, right? The chiyuv is what defines it as a cheftza shel mitzvah. And I assume that's what the Rush thinks, which is why he's so convinced that it needs to be yours. The only machlokas for him is, how do you conceptualize it? As a borrowing or as a temporary gift? Okay, before we look at the halacha, and again, whatever we get to, we get to. Whatever we don't get to, we don't get to. Let's do the Rambam. I should have told you to bring your Rambam, but it's okay. Let's just, I want to move through it quickly. So I'll give you the Rub's analysis, basically, of the Rambam. It's very short. This is the last piece in the Lumdish part, where he has Hashkafa at the end of the book. But the last, and the halachic pieces, is about this.
Rambam, basically.
What?
Like the Rambam at the end of all these
books. Yes, exactly. So the Rav has a problem in defining the Rambam, and very quickly. So in Perek Gimel Halacha Daled, the Rambam says, "Lo nemar k'sutcha el lamayet shi'ula, sha'atalit ha'shi'ula, p'tura min ha'tzitzit shloshim yom, mikan va'elech chayevet." So from this Halacha, he says, it sounds like the Rambam thinks, unlike Tosfot, that after 30 days, your chayev mid'oraisa. So remember, we already saw the possibility that maybe you're chayav after 30 days because you own it, quote-unquote, midirabanan. But theoretically, you could go farther. That once you've gone beyond the normal time of loans, it's enough yours that you're chayav midaraisa. So the Rav says, Pashtras is that that's the Rambam Shita. In Perek Gimel Halacha Dalid. And he says, what raya would he have that such a model could exist? That even though there's a halacha, you need to own it, after 30 days it becomes enough yours that you're chayav midaraisa. What would be the raya that a model like that exists?
I mean, everyone thinks it's yours.
No, but what would be a halachic model to say that that could be? That even though it's not technically yours, after 30 days it's enough yours that you're chayav midaraisa. Tosfot in his second day by mezuzah. Right, the Tosfot said maybe you have to own the house, but for the purposes of mezuzah, owning doesn't mean owning; it means living. Right, so maybe you could have a corollary that by talis, it's not really do you own it; it's like
a living is an act of owning.
You're right. Meaning pashtus, that's not a good model because mezuzah might be different. It's not about owning at all. Tosfot's second position is that mezuzah isn't about owning; it's about living. But talis really seems to be about owning. But the Rav argues that perhaps that's what the Rambam says, because the Rambam in Mezuzah says Hasocher Bayit B'Chutz Laretz V'Adar B'Fundam Yeretz Yisrael Patrim in a Mezuzah Shloshim Yom. And again, he doesn't distinguish D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan. And he says, okay, but why would you think that after 30 days it becomes his enough that he'd be chayav mida araisa? Why would you think that?
So he said, normal time for
so he said, if you followed Rashi, that just like by halva'a, it's not just that people normally lend it for 30 days, but halachically, 30 days is the normal loan, and anything more than that is something deeper. Right, it's not the stamet. So if you hold like Rashi, this is midaraisa, that a borrowing, right, an act of borrowing, the default is 30 days, and more than that, it's like a unique type of borrowing. So maybe that's why you would say after 30 days, it becomes yours enough. And he says, why would I think that? So he said, maybe I'd say it because he points out that a katan who borrows has to pay back when he gets older. And he said, well, why is that true conceptually?
He gets older when
he becomes an adult. When he becomes an adult. Right?
And he became older the same period he was borrowing.
While he's borrowing, he becomes older. So as soon as he becomes an adult, he has to pay back. So he said, why? Isn't a katan pater for mitzvot? Why does he have to ever pay back? And he said, it's very simple. The reason you pay back alone is not because of the mitzvah alone. It's because the fact that you borrowed is what creates a chiyuv to return it. Meaning, there is a notion in a loan that its definition is that you take it for a certain period of time and return it. And therefore, once you say that, then therefore you could say that, look, if If that's the case, that you see, think that formally, like defined into a loan, is that you have X amount of time where you're allowed to use it, and then it runs out, you have to give it back. So you could say that whatever rights those are, so within the 30 days, it's not yours yet, but after that, right, those rights become sufficient. Right, the fact that you don't have to give it back yet means that your rights have been deepened fundamentally until you have to give it back. And maybe the Rambam thinks that after 30 days, which is beyond the normal time of a she'ela, so you're chayav, and therefore it's midaraisa. So that's the Rav's suggestion. But then he rejects all this and says, yeah, it's nice lumpness, but it's wrong. And this is his last one. He says, like, it's wrong because he doesn't paskin that stam she'ela shlo shemiyam. He postulates like Tosfot that, like the Ramban, that 30 days is not a stam she'ela. It's not like halva'a. And therefore, there's no way for him to say that 30 days is the magic cutoff because he doesn't think there's a magic cutoff for 30 days. And therefore he says, you know what? It must be that the Rambam is a different formulation. He says, maybe he thinks it is like mezuzah, and the Rambam holds that none of this is about ownership. It's about, is the wearing that you're wearing considered a temporary wearing or a long-term wearing? And just like Tosfot argues that by mezuzah, after 30 days you become chayav midaraisa, not because you become an owner, but because the real mechayev is, are you a liver? Right? Are you a permanent dweller? And after 30 days, you're a permanent enough dweller, and it doesn't matter whether you own it? Maybe the Rambam really does hold that after 30 days, you become chayav to put tzitzis on midaraisa, but not because he redefines ownership, but because, like mezuzah, he thinks that that was never the chiyuv. It's really, is this like your clothing? And if you wear it every day for 12 months, regardless of whether it's yours or not, people come to associate it with yours. You are not as a Maris Ayin thing, but as it's your clothing. Who cares if I own it, right? If, you know, I don't know if you've seen these new companies, right? It's a new thing. Essentially what Jews do with gemachs, right? Where if you need like a fancy dress for a wedding for one night, you can borrow it from the gemach and give it back. So outside the frum community, that has become a business. That people who like wearing really fancy clothes, but they don't want to buy the fancy clothes.
Like rent a tux.
It's not just rent a tux. It's that you could rent like your normal everyday clothes, and they will deliver it to you day by day. Like you just pick it out online, like everything you want. So you have designer clothes, and instead of having to do laundry, you just like borrow it for 1 or 2 days, and they come, they pick it up, they switch it, and you just keep paying. And you rent all your clothing so that you own nothing. That you need it in your closet. You always have fancy new clothes.
Sounds expensive.
Wow, that sounds really expensive. That sounds like if you can afford that, you can afford the fancy clothes in the first place.
Yeah, so they have different ones. Like, they have ones revealed all the time, and then they have ones for like
special occasion.
Meaning, not what a gemach is, like not a gown, but like any formal event. Like the things that you wear once a month, right? Like there's the places, there were always rentals for things you wear once in a lifetime, right? Like, the, you know, there's a wedding dress or something like that. This is more like you don't want to wear the same mid-level dress to, you know, your prom 1 week and then, you know, your high school graduation the next week and whatever. So like, you know, you get a few. So the point is that it could be that until 30 days, people view it as like, and you relate to it as, this is like my, you know, this isn't, it's not the way that like everyone, you know, that red sweatshirt, it's like, right? That's Daniel. So like when I wear my Roots sweatshirt, it's like, okay, like that's associated. It does. If I told you after 6 months, by the way, it's not mine. I borrowed it from my brother-in-law or whatever. It's not true. It's mine. Right? You would say, okay, but still, like I identify with it. So it could be that the Rambam, just like by mezuzah, Tosfot said that the lumdus is not, are you an owner? It's, are you a liver? It could be that the Rambam thinks that the halacha by she'ula is that after 30 days you become chayev, not because you own it now in any formal way, but because what he really wants is that you're wearing your clothes. And at some point, it doesn't matter who owns it. It's your clothing. You become identified with it. It's your normal attire. So that's what the Rav suggests. Okay, that's the end of Lavendos. We have like 5 minutes to go. So let's just look at halacha quickly. I You can read through it. I just went like halacha, no sikhim, but let's just look at Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Hashom mechaveru talachena mitzuyetzet, patur mi lehatil bat tzitzitl shloshem yom. Dechdev ksutchav lo shalachirim. So, if you borrow clothing without tzitzit, you are exempt for 30 days because it says your clothing. Aval achar shloshem yom chayav mi derabanan. After 30 days, you are chayav mi derabanan. Mipnei shenirek kishelo, which sounds like he holds like the Maris Ayin one. And the Ramah says, "V'im hichzir chatoch shloshim v'chazar v'lakcho enom mitzdareif." And if you borrow, take back, borrow, take back, borrow, take back, that doesn't count. It has to be 30 straight. Rav v'inyan shloshim yom ritzufim. And then he says, "Shalak yishim mitzuyetzet." But if you borrow something, it already has tzitzit. The halacha is mevarech alea miyad. We pass them like the Rush that you make a bracha right away. The Taz, though, says as follows. And he says, maybe there's a distinction. Maybe it's only a talis, like what we call a talis, that you would make a bracha on. But if you would borrow somebody's clothing, which happened to be four corners and had tzitzis on it, you wouldn't. Which is a distinction that the Rush didn't make. Why? What's the logic?
I mean, I guess you don't...
Because he says, look...
I mean, it's a more modern thing, but you just don't view it as a talis.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, remember the Rush's argument? But he gave it to you as a matana and as achshav you mekayim the mitzvah.
What does it matter?
If it's a talis, no, because remember, according to the Rush, you need to own it. And he said, if you borrow it, he's going to give it to you to mekayim the mitzvah. So he said, if you go to shul and someone gives you a talis, the only reason you're borrowing a talis is the shame mitzvah. But if you borrow somebody's sweatshirt, maybe you borrow it because it's cold. If it happens to be four cornered, that's not why he gave it to you. So there's no reason to assume that he's going to give it to you in such a way you become the mitzvah. He's giving it to you because you're cold.
Nowadays, I don't think this would really apply because, like, the only two things that we really have tzitzit on are talis and tzitzit, right? But both of those you only wear for the
mitzvah. And that's exactly his point. And that's what the Taz says. Nowadays, if you're borrowing something l'shem mitzvah, of course you make a brach on it because that's why he gave it to you. But if you had a four-cornered bag, and maybe you wouldn't. But by what we call a talis,
yeah.
Right? Then that's why he thinks that you make a bracha right away. Because there's that psychological assumption that the person giving it to you is going to say, do whatever you need. Take it as a matan almanach lach or whatever, in order that you could be mekayim the mitzvah. And that's what the Taz says. But the Taz also notes that he thinks this is only a talis that you like borrow to put on for all of davening. You just put it on to get out an aliyah, he thinks you don't make a bracha because then you're not doing it l'shem mitzvah, you're doing it for kavanat tzibur.
What if you're doing a communal talis?
Ah, good. So I skipped that line in the Taz, but let's just look at the Mishnah Berurah. We're running out of time. Let's look at the summary. So look at Mishnah Berurah. He says, "Patur." He says, "Vamatil batzitzes umivarech lo hivsid kamo nashim shechol levarech hametzvaseh man grama." So remember, I said you could have made the argument. The Rush didn't, but remember, I said you could make the argument that you're allowed to make a bracha even if you didn't have to put on tzitzis, having nothing to do with the Rush's matana manas lahachzir, but simply because in general, maybe just like women can make a bracha on a mitzvah man grama, you can make a bracha on tzitzis you're not chayav to put on. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Right? I mean, he's quoting Rishonim, but we don't have time to get into where it all comes from. And therefore he says, first of all, he thinks you're always allowed to make a bracha. Then he says, "Mevarich aleh v'yesh machmirin v'tzokin shalol levarich ella im keinasim lo beferish b'matam anas la'achzer." He said some people are machmir and say you can only make a bracha if he gives it to you a matam anas la'achzer. Who's that? The Rush. And we talked about why it might be different from a normal mitzvah zeishes man grama. But he says, "Rov achronim maskim l'shpsach l'shulchan aruch." But he said most people think you can because they think it is a matana manas lahachzir. He gave it to you so you could. He says lechadchila, it's best to just ask the guy explicitly, can you give it to me as a matana manas lahachzir? Because then there's no doubt. Again, he possibly like the Taz. This is only by a talis l'shei mitzvah, but not regular clothing. Some people, though, he notes, argue and say you can always make a bracha. He said if you want to avoid making a bracha, so then have in mind not to be kona it. But then he says at the end, the calls of a talis ish prati. This is only if you borrow your friend's private talis. About v'tilot shel kahal, but if you borrow the shul's talis, kein shalanu mitziyot v'dek netes tzarach l'varech alav l'kulei amah. You always have to make a bracha.
Even if it's like for just an aliyah.
No, meaning if you wear it, like you borrow it for all of davening. He says, why? Why would you think?
You're doing it for the mitzvah.
Because the shul bought it for people to use it l'shei mitzvah.
Yeah.
And you're a partner in that shul. So obviously you do. But he says, and he said, if that's the case, that it was literally bought for you, and you're a partner in it, so do you have to wear, you make a bracha, even if you just go up for an aliyah?
Yes.
Right, you would. One second. But if you look at,
when he says bracha, you gotta do the whole.
Again, not everybody agrees to this. Not everybody agrees to this, but that this is his position. But the Mishnah Berurah does think that you make a bracha in under this circumstance. Again, you could say maybe not, right? Maybe. Even the shuls tell us if you're only putting right. So some of the achronim say it's not true because some of the achronim say, look, when you put on a talis just for an aliyah, you're not doing a derech levisha at all, right? And the p'tur is not because you don't own it. The p'tur is just because you're not doing it as wearing. So many achronim say if you're just putting it for an aliyah, you don't do it. And that seems to be
why do you put it on for just an aliyah in the first place
for kavanat tzibur. And that seems to be.
So you technically, I know that. What about for mincha, when you lay in say Shabbos? Do you have to put on talis?
Depends on the community.
Because I know right. In my shul, the rabbi says no.
In but the bayit, they do.
But also, the rabbi says no.
Because right tab is right makbid. That for kavanat tzibur. Again, different shuls do different things.
In theory, if you're wearing a talis when you're davening mincha, then you should wear it, right?
So in the Ber Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says, look, he quotes some achronim who just say no. You know how you get out of saying a bracha when you just get an aliyah? Make it clear that you're not doing l'shei mitzvah. I mean, don't wrap it around your head. Don't do it in the morning. Just put it on your shoulders. And if you actively don't treat it the way you would when you do it l'shei mitzvah, so then your potter. Okay. And I think that's the minhag olam, is not to make a bracha, you just get it for an aliyah. If you do an atifa, then you're fine. But he quotes from the Divrei Chaya. The Shaar Ephraim. The Shaar Ephraim says that you shouldn't make a bracha, and just make it clear that you
do
ituf.
But for somebody that doesn't wear a talis normally, then you can't make it nachir. Like, that's the whole point.
No, so just put, and he quotes several achronim. He quotes several achronim who say this, that just look, just put it on your shoulder and take it off right away, and have in mind that you're taking it off right away, and that will make it that this is not called a wearing. Right? That's what he quotes from several achronim. He doesn't love it. Right? He doesn't like it. He says, Dvar v'chal Hashem, I don't like this. This is weak. But, and he notes that he thinks that most achronim think you're chayev. But basically, but at the end, he quotes the Ber Hetev, who also says you are not chayev because you're only wearing it l'shem kavod, and he leaves it b'tzarach iyon. So l'halacha, again, the Mishnah Berurah himself thinks that probably if you wear the shul's talis, which was bought so that people could wear it, you're chayev even if you just put it straight on. But he notes from several achronim, Ber Hetev, Divrei Chaya, Shaar Ephraim, that they don't think you're chayev because that's not called wearing, and definitely if you don't do the full wrapping, it's not called wearing because you're not doing l'shem mitzvah. You're not doing it for shem levisha. You're doing it for kavanat tzibur. So lehalacha, I think the minhag olam is not to, because safek bracha lahakel and hakel, and Mishnah Berurah himself leaves it b'tzarach iyun. If someone puts it on and makes a bracha, it's also probably not a bracha vatela. Like, you know, you really can go either way. The svara, right, the svara to do it is, look, in the end of the day, you wore it, it belonged to you, or at least belonged to the community, and was there for you, you're chayav to make a bracha. The svara not to say it is, he brings several. One is, you're not wearing it, you're putting on lakavod. If you don't wrap yourself, it makes it clear you're not doing it for...
Wrap yourself in chiyuv?
The way you would when you make a bracha. Wrap it, do the atifa. Right?
So, just not doing that part, then you don't do that.
Right, because that makes it clear that in your das, you're not trying to do it l'shem mitzvah. He adds that maybe it'll be better if you have kavana, that you're going to take it off right away. Again, the Mishnah Berurah is not convinced either way. He doesn't know. He leaves it in Tzarach Iyun, but those are really the two possibilities. Here, the Piskei Tshuva just notes that obviously, if you borrow a private person's talis and it's a matana ma'as lahachzir, what makes it that it's not a bracha levatala is that you give it back and therefore it's yours, which means that you have to be very careful to get it back to him on time and live up to whatever you said you were going to do when you took it, because otherwise, retroactively, it's a bracha levatala. Right, the whole reason, so he just points, this should be obvious, right? But he says, make sure to give it back on time. Make sure to tell him, I'm giving it back, make sure that it's clear you're giving it back to him because you temporarily owned it. So make sure when you give it back to him, it's clear that you are now giving it back to him. And he said there were some people who really tried never to borrow talis because of all the sveika. Fine. Okay, I think I'm just going to stop. I'll just tell you that at the end, I gave you a Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which is an interesting question as to whether there's a difference between a co-owned house with a mezuzah or a co-owned tzitzis when it's a Jew and a non-Jew. How do you conceptualize what type of ownership you need in both sugyos, and whether there'll be a nafkamina between mezuzah and talis, but it's a bit more complicated than we have time for. So, if you want to look at it, that's source 16. Otherwise,
either the second you have a Jew, even though it's part of it, it's chayav and mezuzah, or you have to say that
is it that you need ownership of a Jew, or you need exclusive ownership? And then, is there a difference between mezuzah, where it's really about living, and tzitzis, where it's really about owning? And might they be just right? It's a nice little lumdish piece on analyzing all those different possibilities, but we don't have time, so let's leave it at that. Like I said, there are two more sugyas I want to do in this parak. We can't finish the parak until we do the question of the number of tzitzis you're supposed to have, mezil v'shamay, so we have to do that machlokas, and I really do want to do the sugya of tats tekilim iftar asma mitzvot, or when you can avoid being chayav in mitzvot, right, that Rif Katina sugya, which is, I think, an important sugya in general, and hopefully we'll be done with that by next week. Then we can decide. I would like to move to the sixth parak right away. If you want, we can do what Reb Ginsburg is doing and spend a few days on straight up perm sugyas, like from Megillah, and not just sugyas here. I always try to avoid that because I like covering in the Masech that we're in, but if you guys really want to, I'm okay with it. We could also do, I said, the one real sugya to extent that exists at all in Shas about Tiny Zester is a Shidim Lugubetzet here in the sixth parak. So we could do that also. It's not like a huge sugya, but it'll take us a day. Yeah. We can do that and real, Megillah sugyas. There are a lot of Megillah sugyas. Think about it, so that after we finish these two last sugyas, we'll move to that.